presentation this morning is entitled, What is Truth? To begin my presentation, I want to take you to a story in the Bible. It's when Jesus was just brought into Pilate. And Pilate, when he gets into the judgment hall, you'll find this in John chapter 18, starting at around verse 33. And Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "Are you saying this thing of yourself, or has it been told you of me?" And notice the irritation in Pilate's reply. "Am I a Jew? Your own chief priests and nation have delivered you unto me. What have you done?" Why did he say that? He's never seen a man like this in front of him before. This man had the bearing of a king. What sort of men is he used to seeing? He's used to seeing, what will we say, the scum of the earth? The worst of worst. So no wonder he said to Jesus, "What have you done? What have you done?" And Jesus said to him, "My kingdom is not of this world." What did that say? He didn't deny. He actually confirmed he's a king. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight to deliver me from the Jews. My kingdom is not now from hence." In other words, my kingdom is not now from here. My kingdom is not now. What does that imply? It once was. It will be again. And if you're a Bible student, you know that is to be true. My kingdom is not now from here. Pilate was immediately intrigued. So notice his next question. Art thou a king? Then. Art thou a king? Then. Then meaning, so you're a king? Because of what he's just said, he has not denied it. He said, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "To this end I was born." "Art thou a king then?" He says, "Thou sayest that I am a king." And look at what he says now, "To this end I was born." In other words, I am the king. "Thou sayest I am the king. To this end I was born. For this cause I came into the world, that I might bear witness of the truth. All who are of the truth, hear my voice." Right at that point, and we can see by Herod's answer, right at that point, something was happening in his mind. It was a debate. It was a debate. He had the crowd clamoring, and he had a king in front of him. He had a king. He knew he was a king before he opened his voice. He had the bearing of a king. So what's the debate? He doesn't want to see this man crucified, but out there, what's happening? It's a storm out there. It's very early in the morning. Jesus said, "Thou sayest I am a king. To this end I was born." Can you imagine Pilate intrigued? "For this cause I came into the world." More intrigue. And then he said, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate was turned. Because he knew that he was not. So he said, "What is truth?" Do you know what that answer tells you? He's turned. His moment has gone. His moment has gone. He turned. But before he turned, he said something. Before he turned, he said something. And he said something that people are echoing all over the world today. And it is the title of my presentation this morning. Jesus said, "Thou sayest I am a king. To this end I was born. For this cause I came into the world, that I might bear witness of the truth. All who hear the truth, who are of the truth, hear my voice. Was he bearing witness to the truth right then? Absolutely. He had the bearing of a king. In fact, from the moment he was born, I'd like to suggest he bore witness that he was a king. To this end I was born. For this cause I came into the world, that I might bear witness of the truth. All who are of the truth, hear my voice. And Pilate said, what is truth? And he turned away. What did he turn his back on? His eternal salvation. That's what he turned his back on. His eternal salvation. Right then, he had to weigh up a whole lot of things. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Where does this happen? Where is this weighing up of the pros and the cons? And that is a gift that God gave each one of us. He says, what is truth? Did he want an answer? He already had the answer. He'd heard of Jesus. He'd heard of his dialogue in John chapter 14 where he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Maybe Pilate had heard even of the dialogue that he had with the Jews that believed on him. This is found in John chapter 8, starting at verse 31. And Jesus said to the Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, you shall be my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Often quoted, isn't it? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus, in his bearing and in his dialoguing, was offering Pilate life, eternal life. And what Pilate did, he was weighing this up, and the cost was too great for Pilate. The cost was too great. He knew that it would be political disaster to free Jesus. And if you know the dialogue later on, he said, I have the power to let you go. And Jesus said, you have no power. Because we know, what was Jesus doing? He was fulfilling the prophecies. It had to happen. But Pilate could have been free. Yes, it would have been political disaster. Yes, he would have immediately lost his job, as we say in Australia. Possibly even killed himself. But if you know the history, he could barely live with himself after that, and he did end up taking his own life. Pilate said, what is truth? And he turned. He turned back out to the Jews and he said, I find no fault in him. Notice the next two words, at all. At all, none. He could not. Let's go back to the Jews that believed on him. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you shall be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He was offering Pilate freedom. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And there was a debate going on in these Jews' mind. Look at their answer. We be Abraham's seed. Right then, it was there. And what did they do? We be Abraham's seed, and never have been in bondage to any man. So how sayest thou, thou shalt be made free? Had they been in bondage? Yes. We be Abraham's seed and have never been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, thou shalt be made free? I love Jesus' answer. Jesus' answer is the answer of a king. The King of Kings. You know what he does? He puts the axe at the root of the tree. He said, whoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. What's that got to do with it? But our wonderful, merciful, loving Saviour, immediately once he puts the axe at the root of the tree, his mercy brings in the solution. Mm-hmm. Whoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, but the servant abides not forever, but the Son abides forever. And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know you be Abraham's seed, and yet you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen of my Father, and you do that which you have seen of your father. And then further down in the dialogue, in verse 44, he puts the axe to the root of the tree again. He says, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of the father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, because he is a liar and he is the father of lies. But what he does is something far more effective than a lie. And we go over to another debate, and we go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And this gives us another insight into the debate, the great controversy that's been on this planet since time dot, since creation, actually before creation. And this gives a little insight before even creation. The Bible says there was war in heaven. You know what? The word war is interpreted as in the Greek, debate. Another debate. We've just looked at one debate that Pilate was having in his mind. We just looked at another debate that the Jews that believed on Jesus was having in their mind. Let's look at the original debate. This is the first war. And there was war in heaven, and Michael is another word for Jesus, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. That great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Now that really defines it. There's no doubt about who he is. Look at the next words, which deceived the whole world. What's a deception? Not as it seems. Mm-hmm. Not as it seems. If he came with his lies, no one would even look at it. But it's a deception. How do we determine what is deception and what is not? The Word of God. That is our guideline. That is our key. Remember what Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you shall be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives, it has deceived the whole world. He was thrown out to the earth, and his angels were thrown out with him. Notice verse 10, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of our Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. Aha! He never sleeps. Have you heard the accusing voice? You're no good. You're an idiot. You'll never make it. You'll never be able to do this. Whose voice is that? It is that great dragon, that deceiver, which was cast out. He's the accuser of our brethren. Whenever you hear the voice of accusation, who is it? We see, the Bible shows us very clearly. The Bible sweeps the curtain aside and shows us exactly what's happening. I love verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, because they loved not their life unto death. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And we looked at that last night. Who's going to pay? Who's going to pay? The price has been paid by the blood of the Lamb. That's why if Pilate had freed Jesus, someone else would have condemned him, but Pilate would be free. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, because they loved not their life unto death. Look at the next verse. Rejoice ye heavens and they that dwell therein. Why are they rejoicing? He's gone. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time. So don't be concerned or fearful over that verse. Go back to the previous one. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, for they loved not their life unto death. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." He says, "I have overcome the world." By his death, he has paid the price. By his death, he is victor. We're on the winning side. One of the devil's most successful deceptions is that he does not exist. Mm-hmm. We need to know the enemy. If you don't know his tactics, you can be easily overcome. Easily overcome. So we've just looked at three different debates. Pilate's debate, and we saw his intrigue. Art thou a king then? Thou sayest, I am a king, and to this end I was born. You see what Jesus did? He opened to him a glimpse of heaven. For this cause I came into the world, that I might bear witness of the truth. Pilate's heart was stirred. This was the most amazing thing he'd ever heard. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And his heart was struck. He had a choice right then. He could have said, I want to know more. But what did he say? What is truth? Everything around him, except for the king in front of him. Do you know what it says in Numbers 23:23 of God's people? That the shout of a king. He had the shout of a king right there. He dialogued. He weighed up the pros and cons. Where do we weigh up these pros and the cons? How can we determine what is truth today in 2021? How can we determine what is truth? Number one, the Bible. Number two, history. We're looking at a bit of history. Number three is science. And number four is common sense. God is the author of those four. He is the author of those four, and he stands behind those four. So we can do the BHSC method, I call it, to any subject. But what I want to show you now, I want to go inside. We're going to go inside the brain now. And I want you to notice that our skeletal system is an internal structure causing man to stand upright, but when it comes to the head, it becomes an external structure. It now plays a protective role. In fact, there's not much between the skin and the skull, is there? But notice that there are seven holes, seven avenues of access into the brain. When I first worked as a psychiatric nurse, the first ward I worked in was an accident victim ward. Why have we got accident victims in a psychiatric hospital? Because their brain has been damaged. And yet God did a good job putting a very hard skull there. And yes, it is true, it is such a strong skull that if he's hit very badly and there is a dent there, it can certainly damage. And we've got that wonderful story that my grandchildren love, David and Goliath. This young boy taking on Goliath ran down and took five stones. Goliath, when he saw David, he was angry that they'd sent this young boy, this young strapling. And in his anger, you know what he did? Pushed his helmet back. And the stone went there. And when it went there, it embedded into his skull, because if you know the story, David, he'd already killed a lion with his sling. He'd already killed a bear with his sling, looking after his sheep. God was preparing him. The whole of the Israelite army was afraid at this young boy. Why wasn't he afraid? Because he had surrendered his whole life to God. And God gave him the ability not to be afraid. And it's beautiful what he says to Goliath. He says, "You come to me with a sword and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts." Mm-hmm. But isn't it interesting? If Goliath hadn't got angry, he wouldn't have pushed his helmet back. And there wouldn't have been a little spot for that stone to go to. What did the stone hit? Let me show you what it hit. Here is the brain from Sidon. Here is the brain from top down. And if you look at the brain, it's almost like a walnut. And the two lobes at the front is called the prefrontal cortex. And it is the prefrontal cortex where our intellect resides, where our judgment takes place, where our reasoning powers reside. This is intellect. Can you see what's happening in the prefrontal cortex? This is where our debates happen. This is where judgment takes place. This is where our reasoning powers reside. But it is the fourth function of the prefrontal cortex that determines our destiny. In fact, it was this final one that determined the Jews that believed on Jesus, their testimony, that determined Pilate's testimony. Well, his testimony proved his destiny. It is the will. And the will is the governing power in the nature of man. It is the power of decision or of choice. See, here's the debate. There's the debate. God gave us a wonderful gift when he gave us the gift of choice. He did not want robots to serve him. He wanted people to serve him because they choose to serve him. And in the little book, Steps to Christ, there's a beautiful illustration of how this happens. It says there, page 47, you cannot change your heart. You cannot of yourself give to God its affections. And when I read that, I thought, well, what can you do? But you read on, don't you? Sometimes I get a bit impatient. You cannot change your heart. You cannot of yourself give to God its affections, but you can choose to serve him. You can give him your will. He will then work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The whole nature can be changed through that right action of the will. An entire change can be made in the life. An entire change could have been made in the life of Pilate. And I think we know the story from another one of the Gospels, that his wife came to him. Do you remember the story? I've had a dream. Don't touch this man. He had a lot of evidence. Where's the evidence debated? Right here. Right here in the prefrontal cortex. Jesus was pleading with him. The Holy Spirit was pleading with him. In the Proverbs it says, "My son, give me thine heart." When you give your heart, what are you giving? You're giving your will. And there was a lovely verse that that Jeffrey quoted last night. "You shall find me when you search for me with all your heart." Nothing back. That's that hymn saying, nothing between my soul and the Saviour. Nothing. Yes, we must count the cost. But you know what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? Starting at verse 7, it says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God, which God hath ordained before the world for our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the King of glory. As it is written, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, even the hidden things of God. Isn't that beautiful? The Spirit that searches all things of the heart. Jesus said to his disciples, this is found in John chapter 14, and it's around verse 16. He said, this is before the scene in the judgment hall. He said, I will pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth. Did you hear that? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't know him or see him, but you know him, because he abideth with you and shall be in you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And down in verse 26, he defines it. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things into your remembrance, whatsoever things I have spoken unto you. Peace I leave with you. Why? What's the peace? The peace is the fact that he's given us a Comforter. But that Comforter will only come in when we ask. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be dismayed. Because there's lots of things happening around us, and we see it, don't we? Lots of things that concern us. But what does Jesus say? Let not your heart be troubled. He says, I've got it. I've got you and I've got it. So trust him. Trust him. No wonder he said to his disciples, unless you become like a little child. What's the little child? It just amazes me, my little grandchildren. They have total faith in me. It's a little scary. So we go down to the rocks and it's a bit unstable. So little three-year-old Lennox holds my hand. Now he's invincible. I'm just, whoa. He just thinks he can just about fly if he's holding on to Nana's hand. That's what Jesus wants us to be with him. Unless ye have the faith of a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Total trust. Total trust. And the decision is here. So what's the debate? Hasn't the debate two sides? Where's the other side? God communicates with us right here. And the front part of the brain takes up about a third. The prefrontal cortex takes up about a third. And this is not fully developed until the age of 30. What age did Jesus begin his ministry? When his prefrontal cortex was fully developed. Can you see how Bible and science, you see God wrote science, backs up. So what's the other voice? We've got something else in our brain, well, we've got a lot of things in our brain, but we're going to look at this. It's called the limbic system. And the limbic system is the emotional brain. Aha! These are the emotions, the thoughts, the feelings, called the emotional brain, or some writers call it the e-brain. Here's the other voice. So let me show you how it works. So the right side of the brain, this is your right. So the right side of the brain is the I won't decision. The left side of the brain is the I will decision. And right in the middle, we've got I want. By I want, I'm referring to your goals, your aspirations. What do you want out of life? What do you want out of this day? I'm going to show you how it works together in Pilate. So Pilate's at the judgment hall. He sees this man. He is touched. Never has he seen a man with such kingly bearing here. And the crowd's clamoring. No wonder he said, what have you done? What have you done to cause this? He was intrigued. His frontal lobe could see. His reason, intellect, and judgment said, what is it with this man? Is he a king? He had the dialogue with Jesus. is he a king? His feelings, his thought, his emotions went out to this man. You could not hide, no matter what you did. And what were they about to do with this man? In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah 52, his visage was marred more than any man after the scourgings and the beatings. You know, these whips had nails on the end of them. You could hardly even recognize that it was a human being. His visage was marred more than any man. You think he got it tough? Read of Jesus' last 24 hours. We haven't got it tough. And no wonder the Bible says he knows the way that we take. He knows. Tempted in all points, like as we are. He knows. That's why you can go to him. That's why the Bible says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Because we have a high priest who knows. Even then, he had the bearing of a king. Of a king. What did the centurion say? Truly, this was the Son of God. He saw the king. He saw the king. And he did not care what anyone thought of his words. The debate had happened. The debate had happened and he made a decision. The debate happened in Pilate's mind. His emotions, everything was drawn to it. But then he weighed the cost. I won't free him. I will deliver him because I want to stay ruler. Jesus gave us the ability. That's why no matter what decision people make, I respect. Because it's our God-given right. Is that right? Our God-given right to choose. My husband was at a freedom march in Sydney yesterday. He said, we marched down the street, and when he looked back, he could not see the end of the crowd. Oh, please, fight for your freedoms. It's our God-given right to have this freedom. He gave us the right to choose. But notice what God desired, that our choice be made according to intellect, judgment, and reason. Weigh up. It's a debate. It's a debate. God communicates with us in the prefrontal cortex. The Bible says in Isaiah 1:18, come let us reason together. It's right here. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be crimson, they'll be as wool. Have you ever seen how white snow is? I was lecturing one day in a church and it was snowing outside. Oh, I could hardly. Oh, I'm not used to snow. Unbelievable how white it is. So white. So white. Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That blood, that scarlet blood, washes us clean. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thought. So can you see that God designed our brain so that our emotions, our thoughts and feelings, they thread through the prefrontal cortex. This is our board of senses. This is our board of critiques. And so Pilate's emotions were going through. Wow, I want this. I want the way, the truth and the life. I want it. But then crowd and the devil tempts us through our thoughts and our feelings, but Jesus communicates with us. Notice the difference. The devil cannot read your mind. Praise God, he can't. So let the debate happen. Who wins the debate? The voice.